This is the VNet Radio Podcast with guest host Alan Carpenter and our very own Matt Wertel.
Good to see you again, Matt. This is our second show together.
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
I'm doing well, doing well. We're going to cover a little bit of the ground we covered with our last show. But before we do, tell people about VNet.
So Velocity Network, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. We've been in business since 1990. Many of you might know us as Velocity.net and had internet or dial-up service from us in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I was among those people.
Well, thank you for your business. Appreciate
yes.
that.
Yes, sir.
So currently, we're located in downtown Erie. We're on at 121 West 10th Street, so we're on the corner of 10th and Peach. And have a new facility, and our focus now is really on providing services to businesses and enterprises. So IT services, fiber optic internet, telephony services. And then we've spun up a couple years ago our VNet Fiber initiative, which is delivering gigabit fiber to the home, which hopefully soon here on one of our next shows we'll be announcing some of our new rollout plans, expansion plans for 2020, which is going to be quite extensive. So we're excited about that. So a lot of things going on, but focus today and our last show is on security, and really that's the big focus in the IT world.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the concern for everybody, in not only in business, but nonprofits and everything in between is, you know, how do I continue to keep my data safe? And today we thought that because it's tax season and everybody's filing their taxes, that we kind of go through some tips and tricks and some different data concerning, you know, how to keep yourself safe and prevent yourself from becoming really the next cybersecurity victim. And unfortunately, it's daily that we're talking to a client or an individual that, hey, I lost my identity, or my company got ransomware and I can't get access to my files. And these are major events. It's not something that's, you know, that is, hey, I lost my debit card. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a challenge. These companies are spending tens of thousands of dollars, they're losing tens of thousands of dollars potentially because of, you know, not being up to date on security practices and not necessarily understanding what the threats are in the environment today.
Yeah, thinking about taxes and cybersecurity, because I didn't make the connection until, you know, I looked over the notes for the show today, but since so many people file electronically, and it's still a good thing to do, but
right.
you have to be wise when you do it, of course. And I thought, well, there you are putting all of your vital information out there.
Right, right. And that's the thing. So, and as we were kind of talking before the show, you know, 90%, roughly 90% of Americans will prepare their taxes online this year. So the IRS is really pushing everybody to file their taxes online. And, you know, to everybody's credit, there's reasons to do it because mm-hmm. I get my refund faster if I'm hopefully fortunate enough to get a refund. If I don't have to write a check to the tax man, then I'm usually waiting to file my taxes towards that April 15th deadline.
Well, you do have to buy that new bowling ball. So.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the new bowling ball. It's coming under the Christmas tree next year. But, you know, so hackers know what's going on in the world. So they're taking advantage of everybody's kind of already in place urgency to say, hey, I need to file my taxes. I'm looking for tax forms. I'm waiting for something from, you know, human resources, my W-2 or, you know, a bank statement or something, you know, interest statement from a bank. You know, the hackers know this stuff
mm-hmm.
and they're getting smarter and smarter all the time. And they're using technology to basically figure out, you know, heuristically what you're doing, what your behavioral patterns are. And they could be doing that for months and months in advance before tax season. So really, we want to make sure that people be vigilant. And that's, I think, what our focus is as a company is you really just need to slow down and take a deep breath sometimes. And just like you would, you know, pause at a stoplight when the between the light turning red to green to make sure that, you
mm-hmm.
know, one of our fun eerie drivers is not running a red light, right?
Right.
Same sort of thing when you're getting an email from the IRS or getting a phone call from the IRS. One, they don't call you and they don't email you. So that's
mm-hmm.
the first thing to know is they don't do that. They send you letters. So the IRS is really in the analog method of, hey, we send you a letter. And then from there, there's formal correspondence and then you go back and forth. So first thing is if you get something from the IRS, a phone call or an email, it's probably fake. And if you think it might be real, if it's coming from the Pennsylvania state government or from the city of Erie, what we always tell customers to do is use the old analog method. And
yes.
most of us forget how to do that. Pick up the phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, call City Hall, call the Treasury the city treasurer, call the IRS and say, hey, I got this in the mail. Did you send this? And the answer is probably going to be no. Or I got this in email rather, not in the mail. No, I did not send that. And then the IRS actually on their website has a form or a place that they have a whole page dedicated, and we have links up onto our website at vnet.us/radio, that if you get a solicitation that is phony or fake, you can send that to the IRS, and then they will investigate and try to prevent that same attack from kind of allowing your neighbors and other folks in the United States from falling victim. So, like I said, the key is just kind of slow down, take a quick second, review everything before you click on anything. And that's really what we try to tell customers and individuals, is that if you take a deep breath and just slow down for a second, it's so easy just to reply to the text or click on the email on your phone, or, hey, I've got 500 emails in my inbox and I really want to just get through them all. It's so easy just to go through that and not consciously think of what's happening, because we're all in such a hurry these days. It's just, you know, slow down, take a deep breath. Look at it. If it is suspicious, just throw it in the garbage or not respond to it. If the IRS is trying to get a hold of you, they will contact you through the mail. And if you really want to say, hey, is this a real legitimate thing, then you should reach out to them and verify that they actually sent it.
It didn't involve the IRS, but I had a similar incident. And I, you know, following your philosophy of taking a breath and figuring out the next rational thing to do, I got an email from, I think it was in Virginia, a company that said, hey, you rented a couple moving trucks, here's the bill. And, well, I'm not moving to Virginia. So I actually called them up and I said, hey, what's going on? This is not me. And this is interesting. You know about this, and I didn't. That they, when the guy's name was Alan Carpenter, spelled like my name, and
right.
when they entered the name, it just popped up with an existing email address, and they figured, okay, that's the guy.
Right.
And it turns out it wasn't fraud, and they never charged me. But if I hadn't called them back,
right,
I would have never known what was going on. So you have to proactively make that response.
Right. And the same sort of thing, especially with, you know, with the IRS, you know, they're depositing monies in your bank account. If you're making payments to the IRS, they're going to be taking monies from your bank account. So, you know, same sort of thing like you were doing is, you know, you got to audit your bank statements.
Yes.
You got to audit your transactions. Yes. So all of us are busy, but, you know, if you have a smartphone, you can use the apps or use the banking apps or mint.com or any of those apps to really.
You should really do it every day.
Yeah, right. To then see, you know, what's happening. And I know the IRS or H&R Block or any of those other sites that you're using to file your taxes, you know, they do have usually multi-factor security that you can turn on.
It might be a pain, but use it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It might take you an extra, like I said, take you an extra 30 seconds to get that text message and put in that code, but that's going to prevent somebody from getting access to that web portal so that they can get to your taxes. Same thing being, you know, most of us might print a copy of our taxes to save at home, put it in a file cabinet. A lot of us might just make it a PDF, and we might just sit it on our desktop or put it in a folder on our computer. That's why it also, yes, at work, you usually have some level of security, antivirus, you know, backup, those sorts of things. Same sort of things need to happen at your individual computer at home. So making sure your antivirus is up to date, that your information is secure, because if somebody hacks your computer at home, usually you might have a copy of all your tax returns on there, and then it's got your social security number on there, it's got your address on there, it's got your name, it's got all your kids' names, and now they've got the keys to the kingdom.
Sure.
To then be able to say, hey, I've got the treasure chest of information. Now I can go and try to open a mortgage in your name or open something else. So we're not trying to scare people. It's just a matter of, hey, you have to be vigilant with that data. Much like you were years and years ago, if you had those important pictures or, you know, grandma's old recipe and you had it somewhere in a lock safe, you know, just because it's digital doesn't mean you don't need to take those precautions to prevent somebody from getting access to it. So
I'm always surprised at people who think it's this insurmountable mountain of work to have good security. First of all, it isn't. But second of all, and you used this metaphor last time we did the show, just because you don't necessarily have a moat around your house doesn't mean you shouldn't lock the doors.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And that's what we try to tell people, is that just because you need to have multiple layers of security. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to use the example that you just talked about, locking your doors, having a security system, you know, having a dog that barks, you know, whatever the case may be, to try to protect your data from somebody getting access to. They're simple things. They're usually cost effective. Yes, they might take some time, an extra 30 seconds to deal with, but it's going to prevent a larger loss on the backside. So, you know, kind of to review, really, if somebody from the IRS is contacting you on the phone or contacting you via email, it's most likely, you know, be suspicious, be vigilant, don't fall for the trap, because as soon as you fall for it, then you're not only putting yourself at risk, but then what other people in your address book are at risk?
Sure.
If you're at your office, now you're putting your company at risk. Those are the things that we want to make sure that everyone kind of takes some time to really think about this time of the year.
And as you said, it's as easy as saying, you know what, I'm going to call the FBI office or the IRS or whomever it is,
right,
and say, did you contact me?
Yep.
It's that simple to assure yourself
right
of what's really going on.
Exactly. You know, one of the other things, too, and this actually happened to, believe it or not, one of our finance folks at our office, is that especially in the corporate world, you're always filing some sort of regulatory tax filing or, you know, filing some sort of information with the FCC or the IRS or the local PA government. And those forms are most likely online. So one of the challenges or one of the things that the hackers have done now is they have mimicked those forms. So if it's, you know, IRS or the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue, they might have a form that you got to fill out your sales tax or something every quarter, right? So they've mimicked that, that looks like it, and they've increased the links to it or hits to it. So it might be the first or second search result. It might be the first search result when you search for it on Google.
Wow.
So now you as
frightening.
Right, as an unsuspecting consumer or a business person, you click on the link to start filling out the form. Now, fortunately for our financial person in our office, our technology basically blocked his access to the form. It's like, hey, it's not a good form. And then he said, well, hey, I can't get to this form. And after looking at it, okay, the actual PA Department of Revenue site was maybe two or three links down.
Wow.
And it wasn't the top one. So that's the other thing we want to tell people to be vigilant about is, yes, you're Google searching, and we always want to, quote unquote, quote, trust Google. But they're just pushing the information that's out on the internet. They're not saying this is relevant, this is real. It could be fake. So the same sort of thing is if you're going to need to fill out a form, if you need to file something online, make sure that it's the real form. And if it's kind of acting wonky or doesn't look right, same thing. Call them up. Hey, where do I get the form? Can you send me a copy of the form? Can you send me the proper link? Because that's one of the things with the technology now is they're so good. The scammers and the hackers are so good at mimicking what is real to make it look exactly what it should be that an unsuspecting or uninformed person can just fill out that form, put their social security number, put all their business information, put a routing number in there, and off it goes. And if they're not checking their activity or their history on their banks, now, hey, I've just lost. Where did that $5,000 go?
Right.
Well, it just went off to an offshore account, and you're never going to get it back. And unfortunately, the FBI is going to, you can file a complaint with the FBI or the local authorities, but there's so many of these going around. There's not enough resources, and the hackers are so good at protecting where they're at. I mean, in terms of total loss, you know, recent data says that cybercrime, they've lost globally, companies and individuals have lost $1.5 trillion.
Wow.
So you think of, I think the U.S. economy is, what, $4 trillion or something like that, or the U.S. budget is $4 trillion. You know, $1.5 trillion worldwide, just in hackers. Just And if you look at the statistics, the stats, some of these hackers are making $200, $300, $500 million a year stealing people's information and money. So it's a lucrative game for them, and they figured out how to kind of infiltrate, you know, our insecurities or our inability to kind of protect ourselves, and they're just going to keep doing it until we kind of stop falling for it.
So. Yeah. Well, one common sense thing is because we all do use Google now more than type in web addresses. A lot of times we don't look for that suffix on a URL,
right,
which is a dead giveaway.
Right.
But we actually never look up at the web address.
No. You just say, hey, this is the Department of Revenue, PA Department of Revenue. I'm clicking on the link and it's taking me somewhere. It's like, well, hey, and even sometimes the websites now are, hey, if those websites are hosted on Amazon or Azure or Google, like their link might be something that's foreign anyways.
Yes.
So it's just one of those things you have to take those proper steps and precautions to prevent yourself from kind of being the next victim.
One of the things you mentioned in our little tip sheet here that I find interesting, is requests from like HR.
Right.
I hadn't even thought about a fake HR request, even though I work for a big company.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time.
So how, what's the scenario, Matt?
So it's called impersonation or compromise attack. So you might get, let's say for you guys here at iHeart, you might get an email from HR that says, you know, hey, Alan, you know, I need your information for your timesheet, or I need to update your address or your personal information, or hey, here's a link to your W-2. Well, most HR departments, you might have a web portal. You can go and download it. They're probably not going to send it to you in email. You're probably going to get it mailed. But same sort of idea is that this time of the year, everyone's looking for their W-2. And you're just going to click on it. You're going to say, oh, I got to type in my social security number to get it. And away it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Business impersonation is getting so good that the hackers, if they can infiltrate, let's say they infiltrated iHeart, for example, to use you guys as an example, they can look at your calendar and say, okay, Alan is on his radio show from this time to this time, right? So they might send an email to one of your coworkers at that particular time, knowing that you're in the radio, you're in the studio, and you say, hey, Michael, I need this now.
Yeah.
And he's going to jump on it because he knows you're in the radio show, and it's something that maybe it's one of your biggest customers that needs something or has requested something. And you're just going to do it as human nature. You're not going to think of it because it's going to come from Alan. Michael's going to get it. He knows you're in the show. He knows you're busy, or vice versa. You get something from Michael, like, hey, Michael needs this now.
Mm-hmm.
But the technology, they're so good now. And they will just sit and wait. So the hackers will just come into your environment, and they will just sit. And the technology that they're running is just looking at your calendar and looking at what you're doing, looking at, you know, your mannerisms, like, what time do you go to lunch? When do you pick up your kids? All those sorts of things, and they're taking advantage of that. And just from the same thing in a business standpoint, is we had a customer talk to us about an example is, you know, a CEO, or actually a CFO, was doing a presentation at a conference, and his director of finance was at the conference, and the CFO was emailing the director of finance, who's sitting right across from him, just like we are, and saying, hey, you need to wire this money. We need to take care of this. And so the CFO is doing the presentation, and CFO sits down, and the director of finance says, hey, Tom, I took care of this for you. Are you up there doing the presentation? He's like, I wired this money. He's like, what are you talking about? What wire? Well, the one that you just sent me.
Oh, that's a bad moment.
He's literally standing there doing a presentation to the board. What do you mean? Well, in this organization, and it's interesting you think about it, so in that organization, they had an administrative assistant that did a lot of the work for the senior executives. So she would be responding. She would get the email from the CFO, and she would respond to it and say, hey, kind of act like a law firm or any executive assistants might be acting on behalf of that person. Mm-hmm. Her email got compromised. Her account got compromised.
Okay.
So she's sending emails around through her account that looks like they're coming from the CFO, looks like they're coming from the CEO, looks like they're coming from the director of finance, and nobody's thinking the wiser because it's coming from her or him, and it just go on by your day. But a hacker is the one sending that email. They're looking at how you're typing the email. They're looking at how you misspell things. Do you miss commas? How do you capitalize? And like I said, we've seen other examples where they're looking at your calendar to say, hey, I know I'm getting on an airplane. Yet again.
Wow.
I know you're getting on an airplane. Usually it's email darkness when you're on an airplane, right? Getting on an airplane, sending an email to the CFO, getting on an airplane, need to wire $100,000 to our major supplier, and here's the wire instructions. Because nobody's using the analog method of, let's pick up the phone and call Alan, who's getting on the plane, or can we wait an hour?
Right.
But everybody's now, hey, we got to get this done now. I'm going to get off my plate. $100,000, $80,000 gone in a minute. So the impersonation attacks happening inside corporations are ratcheting up tremendously.
And that's a relatively, compared to the other forms of fraud, that's a relatively new thing.
Right.
And it does require, like you said, this level of sophistication on the hacker's part to know our behaviors and our patterns
in the workplace. So that's where it's different than, hey, everybody would get the spam email from, you know, the king of Romania asking to help fund something, or you're going to get rich if you send them $1,000 in Bitcoin. Like, those days are gone. They're now saying, hey, we can use technology. We've hacked your email, your corporate email accounts. Now I have access to everybody's data. And because most people are using cloud email accounts now, a lot of the stuff is happening in the background and nobody's really watching what's going out the back door. Another example that we had talked to one of our vendors about is major, another impersonation attack, a major healthcare company here in the United States. Their CEO's email got hacked. Nobody knew it got hacked. Mm-hmm. And what the hackers were doing is basically forwarding every email that CEO was sending. So think of all of the private information, all the corporate data that person might send in or out, was sending it all off to the hacker, to the dark web.
Wow.
So they have all this treasure chest of information. So from a company standpoint, you know, what we talk with our clients about too is making sure you have cyber liability insurance, making sure you've got all your compliances and regulations mm-hmm. kind of up to date. If you're a HIPAA, if you're healthcare, if you're a financial services company, you have finance regulations. Because what happens when you get hacked, just like when Equifax got hacked or Yahoo got hacked or any of these big companies got hacked, there's now regulations that require that you have to then notify your clients. So, Alan, if you get hacked here at iHeart and you send all of the iHeart's, you know, trade secrets out to, you know, the dark web, they're going to have to notify all of the iHeart clients, all of the advertisers, say, hey, Alan's account got hacked. It's the same sort of thing that happens to small businesses. And what's that going to do to your reputation in the community? It
sure.
might put you out of business.
Sure.
So that's why we tell customers, luckily the technology on the technology side is coming just as fast to be as intelligent as the hackers. So there's technology that's now out there that we have, for example, that can scan your inbox, that can say, hey, Alan got this hack, mm-hmm. this email that looks like a hack. And before Alan even sees it, it goes right into your junk folder mm-hmm. or it deletes it. It prevents it from getting to you because we know when it actually gets to your inbox, you're more than likely to click on it.
Right.
Or, hey, we got to train all of your employees on what's a good email versus a bad email. So, and I think we talked about this last month, is kind of having your own internal cyber mm-hmm. Attack against your employees to see, okay, you know what, Susie's the one that always clicks on the Subway coupon that's for the fake free sub. But, you know, Mike over here, he doesn't click on any of that. So, Susie, we need some more training. Mike, he's doing pretty good. So having a scorecard internally to say, who are my offenders? And then really trying to figure out, how do I train them? Because, you know, you're the weakest link. One employee could be the weak link that's causing you to have trouble. And another thing, too, is there's some new technology out that we can scan your entire environment. So, and these are things that people do all the time. So, hey, I go to my office and I scan my Social Security card on my, you know, my copier mm-hmm. because I need a copy of it from, you know, my kid's doctor or, you know, what have you. That gets stored somewhere, right? It goes on your server. It goes on your network. And most people don't delete that stuff.
Right.
And most people don't know it's there. So there's technology that's now available that we can scan your entire network and say, hey, you know what? Alan scanned his Social Security card and it's on his computer. That's a no-no. So you need to go and delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then again, if iHeart got hacked, they would have to then say, what private and personal information do I have across the network that is compromising that may impact my employees or may impact my customers? I mean, the list goes on and on of thing technology that you can run. We were talking about passwords, mm-hmm. you know, before we got into the studio. How many people use way too simple passwords, complicated passwords? There's it's people that put the passwords under their keyboard and, you know, 123456, you know, password. Starting there, a lot of companies don't enforce password policies, don't enforce people to change their passwords.
Right.
So if you're using the same password for your Yahoo account that got hacked, which is the same password as your Office 365 email account, the hacker's like, oh, I'm just going to try the same one. Voila, it worked. And now they're in. So it's really trying to be vigilant and understand, you know, where are the threats and how are the threats moving. And for us as a company, they're moving so fast that we have to be one step ahead of the hackers. And, you know, we're winning that battle, but it takes, you know, a multi-layered team effort to really
do that. It's kind of an all hands on deck situation.
Absolutely. Yep.
If people are listening, I know that you offer an assessment.
Yep.
If you've got a business and you're saying, you know what, this is something we need to get on top of right now.
Absolutely.
The nice thing is you guys can take a look and say, okay, you need to take these steps.
Correct.
And move forward very quickly.
Right. We do a risk-free assessment. We can go through and say, hey, your passwords are weak. You've got this security mm-hmm. hole, and here's where we start. So it's usually starting from one layer to another and figuring out, you know, what's the gaping hole, let's fix the hole in the roof first, and yes. then let's come out and fix the leaky window second. You know, how do we go through that? And we have a whole bunch of tools that we can help do that with.
All right. If people want to get in touch, how do they do so?
They can visit our website at vnet.us/radio is the site that we have specifically for this program, or give us a call at 814-833-9111.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Alan.